About the author, Jonah Nader.
This recording is copyright and can be found at losefriends.com. Friends ask me if I like travelling, and I say, I like being there, not getting there. The same is true about my life. I like being here, not how I got here. In hindsight, parts of my journey have been valuable, even though they were at the time regrettable. My claim to success has been my steep learning curve, a rickety roller coaster ride filled with exhausting ups and frightening downs. For my own sanity, many of my memories have been put to rest. A few still ring in my head and some pound in my heart. The checkpoints that influenced and shaped me would be too numerous to mention. For this reason, I'll tell you about one crisp morning when I was 7 years old. The air was present and sharp. My breath was a flurry of steam. I was in the mountains of Lebanon, whose ancient trees and snow-capped mountains painted a canvas of soft greens and whites. The mellow smoke from burning cedar logs piped through distant chimneys. Just after sunrise, my uncle and his older sons called me up to the large balcony of their country home that boasted a natural spring whose water passed through a decorative fountain wherein freshly picked apples and pears, as well as bottles of beer, were placed to make them colder. If any of us fancied some fruit, we would have to roll up a sleeve, and in my case, climb onto the mosaic edge of the fountain, to reach down, take a big breath while thinking, oh, this is freezing cold. Come up here, they gestured, distracting me from the fountain and guiding me onto a weather-beaten sandstone ledge, overlooking a panoramic view as far as the eye could soar. Rest this on your shoulder. It will kick. So stand firm, warned my cousin, handing me a double-barreled rifle so large and so heavy I needed help to hold it. I followed their calm instructions and eventually squeezed the trigger. An almighty bang vibrated through my body and into my inner ear via my teeth. The birds received their wake-up call. 2 rounds and I was lifted down. Let's go, said another cousin. And on we walked along the cobblestoned lanes and picturesque paths. All the while, the mountains were there, appearing to pivot and shift as we turned and jumped over and under rocks and around trees until I could see a house in the distance. The doorway was arched, like that of a church. I did not ask where I was, I just went inside where the light struggled to follow. Along the candle-lined wall was a glass coffin. The dead man was someone whom the villagers worshipped, not religiously, but artistically. It was Gibran Khalil Gibran. He grew up around those magnificent mountains, whence he derived inspiration to paint and write rich volumes, such as The Prophet. In the early days, Gibran infuriated the establishment. For me, back then, it was just another pleasant outing to an interesting place. How could I have known that Gibran would so impact my life? By the time I turned 13, we became friends. He spoke to me through his books, and I kept imagining him lying in state. When I turned 16, he became a mentor. I grew to admire the solemn author who throughout his fascinating life agitated the world. I walked where he played, and I devoured apples from the trees he surely climbed. His mother took him to the USA. Mine took me to Australia. I sought counsel from Gibran. His insights made sense to a depleted adolescent who earlier had tasted war and all its horrors. Watching cities burn and homes bombed to rubble, along streets on which stiff bodies were scattered and where murdered, tortured men could be found stuffed in the boots of cars. Guns, bombs, tears, blood, and bucket loads of spent cartridges underfoot. At the age of 10, while walking past a semi-decapitated man whose face was blue and black, I asked my father, why would they kill him?
Didn't he ask them to stop? I presumed that people listened to each other, or that compassion and reason were easily exchanged. Not so. Evil is much stronger than good. The dead man was proof of it. Gibran's guiding quill helped to soften me. I am calmer now, quieter, happier. Amidst turmoil and civil unrest and migration and pain and confusion, I came face to face with hate and death at every turn, including the death of ideas and the death of hope. Mercifully, my yearning to understand the essence of love sprouted from the seeds of life that were planted in my heart while gazing at a resolute man in a coffin, wondering why everyone spoke so highly of him. As I matured, I wanted to learn about love and its mysteries and why it eludes so many people, young and old. I once sat next to a lady on a flight home from some exotic location where I was on business. She was returning with her girlfriends from a shopping spree. She enjoyed shopping so much that she became a part-time travel agent merely to obtain a much-coveted membership that enabled her to receive industry privileges from airlines and hotels, just so that she could do heaps of shopping. And on she went, telling me about the bargains they had scored. A watch that normally retails at $4,000 was on sale for $1,800. Would you believe? This and that and three of these and seven of those. Whatever for? How could anyone need to own so many ornaments? All that materialism screamed something at me. Just before touchdown, we had liftoff. The tears emerged. She was in pain, sorrowful and soulful, yet cluttered and searching, distracting herself with silverware and silk. She carried a type of pain I knew only too well. I've walked it, I've felt it. When I stopped focusing on my woes, I began to see that people around me were also hurting, including the man at the store, the lady on the bus, the student on the bike, the executive on stage, and the passenger on my flight. Thankfully, I can close my eyes and retreat to those snow-capped mountains and stroll along the narrow paths and chat with my old dead friend who continues to influence me. Gibran forces me to think hard, and harder still, about my plight and the burdens of others. Readers like to learn more about the author. What can I tell you? I don't think my resume matters so much. My journey thus far has shaped me. For a long time I did not enjoy the ride, but thankfully I now like being here, and I have no desire to go elsewhere. But it seems that I have no choice. I am always on the move. When will the world stop spinning?